What's up, everybody? It's Brendan with Evoke Bike and Will Hardin.
Hey, everyone.
We decided we might try and go live, in which case I'm not sure we can answer questions, but we're going to test this out and see. And we want to talk about, we had done a whole Swamp Classic recap and talked about the race, and then the audio got messed up. So we actually thought it might be more beneficial to talk about the topics that are more evergreen to your races and can be more beneficial rather than us just talking about our race. So is it live streaming? No? Okay. Well, maybe next time. So Swamp brought out, Will was on a team. I was riding solo. And I guess we'll start with Will of what their strategy was with the team and like, how did you come, not just what was the strategy, but how did you come about it? Because I think a lot of newer racers, when I'm coaching someone who's a Cat 4, they're like, oh, well, today it's Johnny's turn to get in the break. And so obviously, and maybe you don't know that, racing doesn't really work that way. You can't really be like, okay, dude, you got this one today. Most likely it won't unfold that way. You need to go and just race, but you do have a plan. So can you shed some light onto what were the conversations beforehand and maybe also incorporate, you don't normally race with these guys. So it's like the guest riding component that I think is super fun, but also is, you don't know everyone's vibe. So how did you guys play that out a little bit?
Yeah, early season race, it's a little less pressure and also being with people I don't know. So one of my favorite parts about racing with a team is you just have way less stress the whole day. Like a break goes, you've got a guy in that kit in it and you're like, not my problem anymore.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you're racing alone, everything is your problem. Unless you're in it yourself. And then it's definitely your problem to make it work.
And actually, this is a good way to jump in. If I was being a solo rider, if something goes, there's obviously no one for me to be looking at as my teammate there. It's now, do I jump to that? Do I bridge to that? Can I bridge to that? Is that match worth it? Who's up there? So you need to be knowing, you know, you need to be knowing the jerseys. You need to be knowing the riders. Maybe a team sends someone up there who's not great because they know it's super fast and it's going to come down to the last lap. So you have to be weighing all these things and you need to be thinking of that before this happens. So you need to be visually patrolling who's on the front, who's maybe going to be launching, where's everybody at, what's the vibe of the peloton. And that in the Swamp Classic, there's 90 guys, it's hard to do. And that's why many times I was like, God, I need to be back on a team again. So continue.
Yeah, it's super nice. The end is where it starts to become a task though. Mm-hmm. We're setting up at the end, that race in particular, we were able to get a guy into the late break, spoiler, which was super nice. And we didn't have to set up like our full lead out train, because if you've got a guy in the break and you set out a lead out train and pull him back, like you're back to square one. So that made it a little simpler. But setting up a lead out train, especially with guys you don't know, can get really complicated. But with guys you do know, can make the end a lot safer and a lot more straightforward. You're not floating between wheels, but you're also responsible for those guys. So it adds complexity at the end, but it can also make your entire race plan much more predictable at the end, having those dudes there.
So let's talk about that though, because I think for Will races with Miami Knights, new team this year, you guys probably know him from a bunch of Project Echelon videos from last year on his channel that we'll link to, where you will have a sprinter, you'll have more of a lead out guy. You guys kind of know how you gel together. You don't have to verbally be like, hey dude, I'm going to lead you out. Or how do you feel? It's like, you can look at that person and be like, ooh, wait, do you not, are you okay? Like, so for maybe a Cat 2-3-4 squad, 2-3 squad, where maybe they're all arounders. Maybe it's really coming down to who just feels the best that day, that week. What do you think the best way to organize would be in that scenario where there's not a, hey, I always lead this person out, so that's what I'm going to do?
I think having all-rounders is really nice. We've done that before at Sunny King, where you just keep attacking. Like, if, especially if you know you're the fastest guys or like the strongest guys as a team, as a unit.
But what if you're not?
If you're not, then you've got to be really selective. You've got to be like, who's feeling good today, as honest as possible with each other. And then late moves help a ton with that. Like,
so when are they doing this though? Because these late moves, it's like flying. You can't always be like, yo, because a lot, these guys aren't going to be like composition riding as a squad. It's like,
right.
And no offense to 2-3s, but it's like, and especially in American racing, we kind of ride all over the place. You go to Europe, or I mean, Tour Southland, there were guys that would yell at us because we would be like two guys over here and three guys over here. And like, what are you guys doing? Get out. Like, and so is that try to check in three laps to go and start, set the plan? Like maybe there's a lull and someone's not attacking. And it's like, try and take inventory whenever possible.
For a crit, three laps to go?
I'd say like, we're talking swap. Yeah, yeah. Either one. I mean, when do you think they should do the check-in just to be like, who's sprinting? Who are we trying to lead out of? Since you brought up like leading somebody out.
I would say like as a rule of thumb, 10% of the race left. So in a crit that might look like 15 laps to go, that'd be a good time to maybe have already checked in because sometimes your plan has to start happening then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd say check in consistently throughout the race. Just be like, how you feeling, buddy? Like, we're halfway. After you get to the halfway point, you're like, how you feeling? Mm-hmm. Can you do this? Can you do that? It helps to kind of know what to expect from everyone else. I oftentimes have the like, oh, I'm probably going to be one of the stronger guys at the end if it's been an attritional race. So most of the time it's on me to like check in with the leaders and like help them the best that I can. Usually there's somebody you know is going to have a little bit better chance, but sometimes the person with the best chance, especially in like a sketchy pack finish, is somebody who can float. So who has the experience and who has the results finishing in a sprint like that. Mm-hmm. But if none of you are confident in the sprint, don't take it to a sprint. Don't lead out somebody who can't win the sprint.
Totally. Yeah. And that's what I was gonna say is I was thinking of my old teammate, Patrick. Like if we were at Tulsa, I was definitely leading him out in 9 out of 10 situations. Now, if he wasn't feeling good, it would be like, yo, Brennan, you got to go launch with 2 laps to go and try and stay away because I'm not going to win a 40-man bunch sprint. It's just not going to happen. So knowing each other and being honest with yourself. I mean, sometimes everybody's not always willing to sell out for someone else on their team, especially when people are trying to get upgrade points and it's like a team, but you also have your individual results. And that can be a weird dynamic that you just need to talk through. And I think everybody coming up that is going to Cat 1, who is going to the pro level, have had those like weird things where it's like, hey man, why are you like, you're always winning and I'm not getting in this break. And why are you in that break? And I'm like, you just have to have frank conversations and try to be fair with everybody, but understand it's a bike race and you can't lead somebody out if they can't win the race. Like everybody didn't go this weekend for the one person to lose the race for the team. And that's the team. The team is trying to win. It's nothing against that rider. So those are good points. It makes me think of, I'm playing Swamp back in my head. I think one thing that I would want to pass on if you're racing alone, aside from obviously having to be a little bit more visually vigilant out there, is knowing yourself and how can you win. Same thing that we're talking about. I'm not going to try and let it go to a sprint with 40 guys. So, you know, somebody asked me today, hey, how'd the Swamp Classic go? And I was like, sent it with like 4 miles to go, got pulled back, 3 guys countered, and that was the move. And they're like, oh, dude, I thought you were like pretty strong. Like, chuckling to myself, I'm like, no, they don't understand bike racing. Like, I wish I could have controlled that, but that's not possible. And really the way I was looking at that race was super active in the beginning because I want to get in a break. As Will said, early season race. So I don't really want to wait till the end. I could ride around for 4 hours by myself and then go do some VO2 max intervals. Like that's not really why I'm there. I want to, you know, be racing. And then really when I went, I was thinking it was a little too early, but there was a gravelly section. There was 90 guys in the race. So you couldn't always just go whenever you wanted. I had a perfect time to go. And it was like, either you take this one or maybe you won't get another shot. So I took it. We got pulled back very quickly. And the other 3 guys countered as we went around this last corner for people that were there. And that was the move. And then we were on a 2-lane road with a yellow line and they stayed away and kudos to those 3 guys because they drilled it and yeah, podium was right there. So not how I wanted the race to end, but that's the bike race. And I think it reminded me, you know, you got to be patient and you got to read this. And yeah, someone's gonna say, well, why aren't you on a team anymore? For those that follow me, it's like, I'm in Florida, I'm in North Carolina. I've been kind of bouncing around the past few years and just, I don't want to join a team and be a flaky teammate. So I even saw my buddy Owen, who was like, dude, throw on a Velo Brew jersey. We've got 4 guys. And I thought about it for a hot second. I was like, oh, I'm just going to Rocky Vogue. I wasn't, I wasn't ready for that. But I need to, definitely for bigger races, you're just at such a disadvantage if you're trying to roll solo. And you can do it, but it's also way less fun. It's like way more fun to go with people.
You have to have a lot more luck to stick breaks when it's just you. Or you have to have every other team that's represented. So,
you know, and it's weird because Masters races have so many more individuals. Mm-hmm. But then it becomes, it's just a different dynamic of racing because then certain people pull certain people back, especially if there's a marked rider, they're going to, you know, like Owen, perfect example. People aren't going to let Owen go up the road. Whereas if Owen's racing a P1-2 race and he goes up the road, well, his teammates are like drooling because people are going to chase him down and then they get to counter. So again, it's like use being marked to your team's advantage. And when you're alone, especially in a P1-2 race, I race too aggressively at times. Like I should have probably not tried to get in moves early, but at the same time, that's how I like to race. Like I went home, I was like, oh, it was a hell of a day. It was super hard. Maybe I didn't come anywhere close to winning or getting on a podium, but I had fun doing it. And it's kind of why I'm doing it. So, but that said, winning's way more fun. So I should have maybe been more patient. I don't know. Early season race. Go get the I was gonna say the bugs out. I don't know if that's the right term. What else were you thinking from Swamp that we talked about that was maybe applicable to this one?
Ooh, well, I think we should talk about our preparation for that time trial right after, because you did a unique little venture between there's like a 2 to 2.5 hour gap between the road race finish and the time trial start. I was specifically focusing on the time trial. That's the only reason I came down, was like try my time trial setup. So I sat down and ate an entire box of Gushers and just drank a bunch of water. Brandon, what did you do?
I rode with Taylor Warren. We caught up and he was like, so wait, are you just riding? I'm like, I'm going to ride till the start. He's like, oh, wait, I'm doing the Omnium. I was like, my back's been bothering me. People are like, shut up. We've heard about this. So I knew I wasn't going to do the crit. It was really hard to go hard in the road race. And I thought, well, I'm here. Let me do the TT. And I'm just going to go home the next day. And I thought it might rain too. So I was like, I'm definitely not going to do this in the rain. And just going hard, it's just weird. But anyways, the reason I rode, I would not advise this. I knew I wasn't doing the crit the next day. So the time trial, I'm on my road bike. I figured, dude, this is going to be a mega day. So I ended up doing 126 miles. I died in the time trial. And shout out to Jimmy Sherman. He was there and he was in front of me. And I was like, I'm going to catch Jimmy. I was like, Jimmy, you feeling good? He's like, I'm going to do 370 for this 20. And I was like, damn, that's kind of probably maybe. I don't think I'm going to do that. And he was 30 seconds. So we get down that super fast part and I'm still like, oh, he's still 30 seconds. And then it was 35 seconds and then it was 40. I think, I don't know what he put into me, but I didn't see him at the finish. So Jimmy, shout out, kudos, but it happens. So you, let's talk about someone who's trying to do well in the time trial. What was your warm up? So you ate all these Gushers. Let's actually give people, what do you focus on for food before a TT? Because a lot of people have asked me this. And I'm not going to, what do you tell people?
Yeah. This one specifically is very unique in that road race and then time trial right after. I am not used to heat yet. So a lot of my in-between time was spent drinking electrolytes, like sipping electrolytes and water, as much water as I could pretty much get down.
What electrolytes?
It was like Element, I think, in a bottle, just what the team I was guest riding for had. So it's like 1,000 milligrams of salt in a little water bottle. That's a lot of salt. But I had two bottles and one little like 300 milliliter pouch of water for that 3-hour race. So not enough water for the race. I was definitely dehydrated and could start feeling my muscles like twitch a little bit.
Wait, you had two bottles and the 300 milliliter pouch?
It was like a little water. It's called Hoist.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you just bring three bottles?
I didn't have three.
Oh, should ask me.
Just two bottles.
Nalgene bottles. Let's go. Okay.
So needed to top up on liquids and then get as many carbohydrates in as possible to not feel full. Like I didn't want to feel bloated and like, oh, so.
So why not just drink like sugar water or something?
I could, but the palatable thing for me, because I had already had like Beta Fuel during the race. So I was like, I was tired on the sugar water. I found these Gushers at a local store, and I was excited about them. So I was like, this is going to make me the happiest I can get before this time trial, which was a big deal.
You smoked too. You looked fast. Those.
I felt fast.
You look fast. I can't open my mind. I was like, I want a TT bike. Damn it.
The time trial, yeah, I was like, it felt downhill the whole way out.
It was.
And then back, I turned around and I felt like I was going the same speed, which was a great feeling. I was like, I felt like on the way out, I was going to regret going that fast. And then I turned around. I was like, we're fine. This is just Florida and we're going fast all the time.
So that's like I did 155 miles a day with a group for 2 hours of it, and we averaged 22 miles for 7 hours. That's Florida.
That is Florida. So that went well. Got first. I think a junior beat me in the overall speed, which is crazy.
Dang. Shout out Junior Nugget.
Good job, Nugget.
Hot tubes?
Yeah, I would say so.
That's hot.
That is hot. And then came to the crit, and...
We'll link to that.
Oh, we'll link. I've got a YouTube channel. He's got a YouTube
channel. You can maybe subscribe. He's already hit 1,000. He's getting monetized. That was our big chat this week. Yeah, we're doing this. Well, it's not live. We're doing this one together because we're finishing Evoke Camp. Just did a 32-hour week. What are you at?
31 and a half. And a lift in the gym.
How are you? So you rode.
Oh, 30 and a half and a lift. That's with Sundays. 7 hour total.
Oh, seven. Okay.
7 days.
7 days. We're having a hard time talking.
We're 130 miles. I'm 130 miles in today. He's 150.
155. Let's go. All right. Hopefully these tips help you out. Let us know if you guys like these types of videos because we're going to make more even when we're not together. And good luck with your next race. Train smart. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's easy. And just crush it. Any final words?
See ya.
Bye.